100 Word Stories. Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast. At one a day until the day I die.com. Not going to make a song of it. But, hey, how about we do that weekly challenge thing where I post a topic, you come up with a story, we have a lot of fun. Well, you have a lot of fun. Me, I'm dragging and dropping a bunch of crap in Audacity. I still haven't bothered with GarageBand yet. I keep saying I will. Maybe that's going to be my 2014 thing. GarageBand. That's going to be so cool. Okay, I need to sip my iced tea. Most podcasters will mute that stuff or do a different take. No, let's just get it done. Let's just get this going. I know you're waiting. Unless this is like a few days later, then it's like, oh god, what do we do that? Let's see, the first story is by Mick Bordeg. Or Bordeg, I forget, week to week. I should remember this. So, here's Mick with Anything But Christmas. That's the topic this week. I know, seasonal, isn't it? Should have just said Festivus. Okay, here we go.
100 Word Stories. The Horn Prompt. It Was Foretold by Mick Bordeg.
You've never heard of the Horn of Bantilambus?
Baljack asked. Should I have? Said Mullen.
Legend says that when it is blown, the great beast Amhaliog will descend from the mountains, killing anything that stands in its way.
Baljack, you must have 1,000 warriors standing outside your gates right now. Why have you not already blown the horn? Asked Mullen.
I blew it this morning, when the soldiers first appeared.
And?
The great beast descended from the mountains.
And?
It raced towards the gates, but fell dead from exhaustion before it reached them.
It was quite an old legend.
Thank you, Mick. And I think that one was from a different topic. But this being anything but Christmas, it can be horn. Did we have horn before? I don't know. This shows how organized I am now. Okay, let's write down for 2014, get better organized. No, what I do is when the messages come in, I put them in a folder in Gmail called Weekly Challenge. I order them up, and then as the week progresses, I have a draft of the show notes, and it's in my bookmarks, edit, post, and I just go there, tack on the text of the story, and I reorder the links in the beginning so that Sunday morning it's all prepped. I also save the sound file in a folder called Weekly Challenge Project. And it says 01 Mick, 02 Sing, 03 Richard, 04 Tora, and so on, all the way down. So it's all ready for me to drag and drop and assemble on Sunday morning, except for the late stragglers, you know, 15 Justin, 16 Norville Joe, 17 Muncie. But those I can take care of Sunday, and it doesn't take as long. It isn't much of a drudge, so I don't waste all my energy doing that, and then, oh God, no. So, there you go. Now, afterwards, the stories that I need to prep for the next week, that I do after the weekly challenge, and that, okay, that can be like, oh. I've tried doing those on Saturday. Oh, no dice. At least football is, well, kind of over. Texans get to lose 2 more, and then that's it. Who cares about the playoffs? And I don't give a crap about the Super Bowl. I used to go to Super Bowl parties and all that, but you know what? The person who ran one was kind of a jerk, and the people he used to work with, and the good... Well, actually, the good one... Okay, the good ones... Bob's funeral helped. Bob was such a good guy. And the people that I despise stayed the hell away from me. Which, okay, the feeling is mutual, great. And the good ones, the cool ones, yeah. I know, it's strange. We had a good time. But if, really, you know... It works out. So no feeling of dread anymore. No fear. Now it's just laziness. Oh, I should play Sing story? Okay, I've rambled enough. Sing, the madam, the yogi. Man, when this all comes together, it's going to be so cool. Here he is. I think he's in Bali. What temperature is it outside?
Oren, Madam, and the White Yogi. A verse novel in progress by Chris Munisingh. Chapter 22 continued. In this installment, Yogi and Madam are at home in their hut before school. A buffalo cart was passing when he woke. The wheel clunk on dirt. The cursing driver made him sit up. Margot at the pump was pre-dawn bucket bathing. Yes, he knew her gasping splashes in their cane enclosure. Her cups of cold reality doused him too. Yesterday's words slapped him with regret. Had they come to India to fire pot shots? The bird and arrow dream he had recast from the old epic. And the meaning? To aim with single focus higher up the tree? Or pull on, buffalo-necked with pride and blinded power? Just who was driving? We need to talk, she said, while toweling her grey-flecked hair and sliding into perch upon the bed. Look, aren't you bored with me? He rose to switch on gas and make the tea, avoiding her eyes. He did not want to fuss. No, honey, I'm with you. Please believe me. I simply scraped my knee and missed the bus and then got stuck at Barhai's. They were kind. Time for truth. She knew she was in the right. So he forced you to sit cross-legged and hold court? Admitted Yogi, you love your holy white. She felt his claws, soft bites. The school's good for you, setting the world to rights, but what am I to do? I think the kids like me, not so Adele and Paul. I strum under the tree, but really, that's about all. When I play and sing, I feel I am alive. You think it's an ego thing? I want others to arrive at a place of peace, bring them together, improve, lift up, increase good vibes in bad weather. Barhai said we could earn donations for the school. I'll go sing, then return. It'll work out really cool. He'd already planned to leave, she thought. He'd made his call. I meant a basket weave. Throw the alphabet ball, put off the school inspector, accreditation for kickback, play teacher lie detector, and hold back parent attack. There was little she could do. There was no bud to nip. First the flower thief said moo, now he was abandoning ship. A woman needs a lookout, alone in a village hut. Thought of his walkabout tightened the spring in her gut. So what'll I do? He asked. I feel your doubt. Yogi, I say to you, dig deeper or opt out. She had suffered through the whims of restless men and feared the sari sirens, the gifts of silk ready for undraping like Draupadi. Indian Christmas? Circumstances would put him high on a flower-sprinkled dais before gold-bangled clapping gopi hands like teens before a rock god. Sacred showtime. There was nothing wrong with God's song. After all, she'd seen him at her Himalaya center with golden Krishna dancing on his drum. Yet something about Barhai did not gel. She feared mispurpose. Yogi was naive. The river span between their 7 years and the crocodile Ganges was too wide.
thank you, sing. And no, I'm not going to go on another ramble. I've spoken enough. So let's move on to Richard. He's got a few stories. He's doing well out there. And I'm really enjoying how things are going here and how things are going for some of the writers here. It's all coming together. People are splashing around the shallow end here, and they're going to be breaking out, doing all kinds of cool things. I mean, they speak about it in their little blurbs and their shameless self-plug kind of things, right? So do it. Do it. Plug. What are you doing out there?
Good morning, everybody. Well, I didn't put my Amazon wish list up in the comments, as Lawrence suggested, because there's only one thing I want for Christmas this year. That's world peace. Failing that, garden peace will do instead. Let's get on with the stories. This one's a George story. But Mummy, how will Father Christmas get in without a chimney? Don't worry, George dear. He'll climb in through the window. Sure enough, a scuffling noise that night revealed Santa leaving his bedroom, one leg over the windowsill, weighed down by his great sack. Emily screamed, swiftly roused George from his reverie. Damn, he'd fallen asleep on watch. Too late, he awoke to see a shadowy figure, weighed down by a struggling Emily, clambering out through the window of the house they'd hidden in overnight. Too terrified to give chase, her fading screams haunted him for days to come. My second story this week is called Anything But. This is not a festive tale of peace and joy and love, a time to celebrate the birth of baby Jesus from above. It's a tale about greed, profit margins and excess, of commercialism, gluttony and giving in to selfishness. So ring out the bells, uncork the wine, indulge yourselves and have a good time. Eat till you're full and drink till you're sick. Let's raise a glass to good old Saint Nick. Grab the neighbour's wife under the mistletoe and have a friendly grope. No one need know. A time for self-indulgent glut. Christmas it ain't. It's anything but. But then again, it sounds fun, doesn't it? This one's called Scrooge. Scrooge's evening was not going well. A mild case of food poisoning, perhaps. What else could account for the bizarre hallucination he'd earlier had of his ex-business partner, Jacob Marley? Now his sleep was disturbed by another apparition.
I am the ghost of...
Bugger off, said Scrooge, and went straight back to sleep. Next morning, after emptying his chamber pot over the snowball-throwing youth under his window, he made his way to work. Bob Cratchit was late as usual. Scrooge would dock the time from his wages. Just like any other, it was another typical day at the office. And with that, I shall say adieu and catch you next week. Goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. Although I think that Scrooge was having a great day. I mean, that was some seriously wacky hallucinogenic mustard that he took. And he just whacked out. What? Oh, go back through the... I'm not going to go back through Dickens. Oh, God. Okay. I don't like Dickens. I don't. Yeah, he's an easy read, but too easy. And I know there are layers on layers and layers. And too many damn characters sometimes. All right, the exception is that David Lean Oliver musical. Because it's so over the top and so crazy. It's something that you can trip out to, get really stoned or really drunk, or take a few tabs, or have a fever, a natural sickness and high, and then watch that crap, and you will be in space. So, there you go. Little tip for you that those of you who... And don't drive while tripping balls on that Oliver movie. Right. What was that? Oh, okay. Netflix on my phone on the dashboard. Yeah, that's a smart thing to do. Instead, let's hear what Tura's got. Tura's a little early this week. This can be cool.
My brother was waiting for me in the airport arrivals hall. "Happy," I managed, before he roared, "Happy Solstice," drowning my voice. "Come on and park just outside," he said, then muttered urgently, "and don't say the C-word." "But just don't," he hissed, hustling me into the car. "It's officially hate speech," he explained on the road. "Oppresses minorities, see? Anything else is okay, although happy holidays is so safe it's suspicious. And as an expatriate, not that I grudge you that, you're under suspicion already." "Happy pomegranates," I said. "Happy ponies and unicorns." He chuckled. "That's the spirit."
Thank you, Tura. Whew, and Merry Festivus. Anything but Christmas, really. Let's see what Jeffrey comes up with. He came up with several here, so have yourself a listen.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher. Before I begin my stories, I just want to congratulate Lawrence on 400 podcasts. That's a heck of a lot of stories and a heck of a lot of rants over the years. So keep it going. Really appreciate what you do. Today, on the topic of anything but Christmas, I have two stories. My first story is called The Ultimate Weapon. The six spheres sat in a neatly aligned row. Two men stared at them, eyes flicking from one to another. New Year, Valentine, St. Pat, Independence, Halloween, and Christmas, each named for an ancient holiday of the North American continent. "Anything but Christmas," Stevens said. "We can't take that again." Each sphere could release a mood-altering chemical onto the population. For example, Independence created nationalistic fervor. Valentine created feelings of passion. "No, we can't," replied Hogan. He picked up St. Pat. "Here, alert cleanup that the two-week bender starts tonight." Stevens thought of the last time the ultimate weapon was deployed. An entire month of shopping frenzy, resulting in hyperinflation and a shattered economy. "Agreed," he said. "Anything but Christmas." My second story is called The Closer. Kris Kringle was a mountain of a man, tall and wide. To call him fat would be a disservice. Mounds of flesh oozed from him. He wore a furry red suit in all weather, apparently never washing it, the stink nearly visibly rising. His breath reeked of pickled herring and mulled cider. Father Christmas, he was called, for obvious reasons, and he was the best interrogator in the Bureau. Just being in the same room caused prisoners' eyes to water, their stomachs to revolt in disgust. They confessed to any crime in order to receive merciful release from his presence. "Bring in the prisoner," the guard said. They dragged the man into the interrogation room. When he saw Kringle, the hardened criminal felt his heart sink. "No, anything but Christmas." Those are my stories for this week. I will be back next week. And yes, Lawrence, I will be back talking to you and everybody participating in and listening to the podcast for week number 401. Take care.
400 weekly challenges. Wow. And that's just the weekly challenges. There are more. You do know that occasionally, this whole one a day until the day I die thing, occasionally there are shows in between. Between, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Do you know how many episodes those are? Well, take 365, multiply by 8.5, at about, how many would be by other people? Oh, tack on another 300 or so. Who cares? It's thousands and thousands and thousands. Oh my God. But what matters is the weekly challenges. So, 400, there you go. Woo! And it wouldn't be possible with you people. Don't thank me. I'm just the glue, the mucilage, the pegs, the nuts and the bolts, heavy on the nuts, that keep the framework together and just keep tacking it on the nails. We're just slamming boards together here, baby, but you are the hardwood. You're the mahogany, the oak, the cherry wood. Sometimes the plywood. I mean, so, really, and occasionally the morning wood, but, you know, sometimes, I really miss the smutty stories that we would get from some people. Although I would be all judgmental and go, you know, right. Maybe we can look at John Musico's story here and think, that could be smutty. So try to come up with a smutty angle on this. So, wow. This is what happens when I can't just say thank you.
Petting George by John Musico. My stubborn childhood dog refused to let me pet him. Broke my heart. He hated the groomers. His pride could not tolerate it. He'd arrive home with a bow in his hair. This indignity shamed him such that for days he'd barricade himself under a table unseen. Ultimately, he got his way and spent his remaining years a hippie. Years later, he seemed to be staggering and concerned. I dared to pat his back. For the first time, he allowed it. Just as my hand patted his back, he collapsed dead. Broke my heart. I had finally pet my dog.
Thank you, John. And thank you, John's dog. You know, this headset, Gina, I think got me a wireless one for Christmas. We'll find out how well it works if it doesn't. Yeah, it'll go on the stack of headsets that I never use. I should list them out on eBay or just put them all in a box and say, box of headsets. But I am obsessed with the Jabra Stone. I know it only has 2 hours in it, although the ads say 10 hours, but you have to stick it in the stone, wait 20 minutes. And somewhere around here I have a Plantronics M50. I used to have that somewhere here. Maybe I lost it. Now I'm tempted to go and buy another one. And I gotta go to the bookstore and pick up a gift card for you-know-who, the wife. You never hear her on that. Although, okay, her and I think Beth, or her and Tony, her sister, recorded one long, long, long ago. Not again. Although I need to convince her to record one with me at some point. Maybe a Christmas wishes and all that. And she says, well, you're not Jewish. And I was like, well, you're not Christian. You know, and we could break into a fight. That could be fun. Yeah, that's fun. What? Julie? Okay. Julie, who isn't an Aryan from Darien. We saw MAME last night. My God. Isn't that movie cute? And I'm like, really? It's a fucking stupid movie. Yeah, it's one of those fucking stupid movies of that era. There just ought to be just a section. Action, comedy, romance, fucking stupid movies from that era. Where you just want to destroy the negatives. It's probably in the film archives. One of those feel-good, you know, we'll preserve this one so that after nuclear war, people can see how we wanted to nuke ourselves. We had crappy movies like this. So, with that kind of introduction, here's Julie. Don't you just love it?
Hey, you guys. It's Julie. And, this is anything but Christmas, but goodness, I think... Well, in any event, anything but Christmas. We melted into the earth. It's all your fault. I loved every moment. I don't blame you. We were vagabonds, wanting everything, having nothing. We were called back home for Christmas, dreading the lights, presents, the tree, all that family. We tried to escape in the boxcar together, but we melted into the earth, and it's all my fault. Your anathracite eyes staring at the pier down by the ferry landing. I tuck my scarf around your neck. Those eyes, hands on my hips, pulling me closer, saying, "Don't you cry, don't you sigh. I'll be back again someday." Happy holidays, everybody. It's me.
Thank you, Julie. You know, the only reasonable and likable and rational character in Anti-Mame died in the first minute. All you see is his hand signing his own death warrant. I mean, oh, don't let my crazy old sister get a hold of the kid. And sure enough, what happens? Crazy wins. Sorry, I'm just... ugh! I had to suffer that movie. Right, I should just... thank you, Julie, for suffering that. And let's just move on to Zachman before I say anything else that's stupid.
"Look what I got our son," Father says, taking the 10-inch cube out of a box. "What's that, dear?" "It's the greatest invention ever! The anything but." "What does it do?" "Well, almost anything, hence the name. Plays games, videos, plays most major disc formats, and can stream through the television." "Is that all?" she asks with the proper amount of snark. "Well, no, it's not only a media device, it's a transformer." "Really?" "Anything but derpy." "Anything but folds into a gray pony." "Guess what prompt makes it turn into a plastic evergreen tree?"
I have no idea. Let's see. What would it be? What would it be? It would... I have no idea. I don't have a clue. Thank you, Zachman, for the mystery this morning. We all need a little mystery. I need a lot of mystery. I need a ton of mystery. Ooh, somebody deleted themselves. Ooh, who deleted themselves? Oh, well, that takes care of that. I wonder who it was. Friends list dropped from 184 to 183. Let's see. And it's always exciting to see who did it. Let's see. Oh, I see who it was. It's the person who made the smoking system that I use. They didn't need me anymore. Okay. I didn't need them anymore either. So that's cool. I appreciate that. I really do. If you've got somebody on your friends list that they keep coming on, they're off, they're on, they're off, and it really doesn't affect you, and you don't need them on there anymore, and your relationship is done, and if it was like a business relationship or just casual or whatever, and you're done with it, yeah, remove them, because, you know, you're sick of seeing the alerts, and they're getting in the way of the other alerts. I fully agree. I'm cool with it. The guy's a good guy, but, you know, if there isn't a need for a contact there, a permanent contact, you always get a hold of them elsewhere. And if you have, like, their calling card in there, sure. I do that with contacts. Well, I don't get rid of contacts and phone because I have a folder. And I can put a folder saying, you know, archived. And then I've got another folder saying, you know, these are personal. And then there's another one that automatically syncs. It's called work. And I do that with my little instant message ones as well. You know, the ones that I deal with and the ones that are just like, eh, whatever. And that's what annoys me about the SL contacts list. After over 10 years, you don't have folders. Well, you can put, you know, the contact cards in there. It's like, well, that's fucking stupid. I don't use that. That's not what comes up in the menu. You don't have a button that goes straight to calling cards. And that's just dumb. Just obnoxious and dumb. What was I saying? All right. So thank you, Zachman, and let's move on to Spate, who I'm going to make it my quest to add him to my friends list. That's going to be my next thing. I can be like, hey, wait, why is he coming up as green? I should be the one that makes him yellow. I'm going to turn you yellow. So, not that, then you'll delete me later. See how it works? Here's Spate.
Hey, this is Spate. My story this week is called Tales from the Navy, Completely Unrelated to Christmas. And here it is. Sometimes legends are born from shallow, unassuming moments. So it was. Mid-70s, Naval Air Station North Island. We were off duty, sitting around the dorm room table, smoking dope and drinking beer. Denny Freeman starts drawing on the tabletop. Young Kerr, Pritchard, and I join in. We liberate a paint set from the rec center and do a half-decent, nearly pornographic rendition of Venus on the Half Shell. We sign our spontaneous artwork with blood-red lacquer fingerprints. To this day, sailors come from afar to view the table and imagine the fate of the four unknown painters.
Thank you, Spate. We all need more saxophone in our lives. I know I need at least, I don't know, is it part of the multivitamin I take? I'm not sure. Let's keep going here. I think Tom has a little something for the 400th weekly challenge here. And actually, it's been going on for 401 weeks, the weekly challenges. Hurricane Ike, I skipped a week. Even when I broke my arm, we had the show all together. I just, was stuck in the hospital and didn't have a headset. Also, I was tripping balls on those drugs. Wow. Although I could have put the show together. I had my laptop. I could have just spoken through the microphone and thing. I could have done it. They just kept putting drugs in me. Wow. Oh, sorry. What was that? Oh, sure. Tom.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got four stories. First one, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, apart 28. Through the night, the temperature dropped. A light covering of snow settled on the airship. Alone with his thoughts, Doc Proctor tried fervently to think of anything but Christmas. When that failed, he tried to think of any Christmas but that Christmas. He had been a bit younger than Master Timmy that Christmas. His father, a doctor of renown, the personal physician of the Emperor himself, had just opened the door and cried out, "Merry Christmas." Young Proctor leaped into his arms. Fate cut the father's thread. They fell to the floor. Anything but Christmas, thought the doctor. Story 2. Bah. I came to the Golden State with a cohort of Chicagoans. Over time, they drifted back east, separated from friends and family, and quite well aware of the government stat on Christmas suicide rates. I took up a personal campaign of Yule cleansing. Anything but Christmas was my motto. To this day, I do not address cards, raise or adorn a tree, no shopping beginning, middle, or end. Not a sprig of mistletoe or holly to be found. I slipped once during my first marriage, attended my in-laws' celebration. A regular Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf Christmas that was. Story 3, the best Christmas party ever. Dan from accounting was sitting next to Phil from manufacturing. Pretty cool Christmas bonus. Dan squirmed against the red velvet and replied, "I would have preferred cash." "Aw, come on, a plane ticket to Nevada, a limo from the airport, we're knee-deep in champagne. The company has seriously outdone themselves this year." "True," thought Dan, noting smiles on even the grimmest of his co-workers, who were engaged in conversation with women of a beauty way above his pay grade. A redhead winked at him. He glanced at the gold embossed invitation card. It read, "Anything but Christmas." And the last story, "Merry Corporate Tide." "Anything but Christmas" is the spirit of Christmas, viewed from any vector. A nice analysis would lead to a jumble of inconsistencies. A harsher view would be a hypocritical pile of lies. Firstly, the guy we celebrate on that day wasn't even born on that day. It is unlikely he spent a year laying in hay so we could crowd enough figures to fill out a cardboard nativity scene. Secondly, we've conflated the Moorish Archbishop of the Spanish Netherlands with a Laplandish white dude who somehow embodies the true meaning of Christmas by swigging down a bottle of Coca-Cola.
Hey now, that Coke, it's good for you. Yeah, right. Coca-Cola, I think, is Wassel in German. You may have to look that up. So thank you, Tom. Remember, wearing red and white is very important for your Santa Claus, even if it's an environment suit, as you sprinkle good cheer and anthrax spores throughout the house. Oh my God, that's giving away what's coming up at the end. So thank you very much, and I really ought to come up with a magnet. I really ought to come up with a magnet for next year and start giving them away. If folks email me, hey, I want a magnet, and I get like, I don't know, 25 of that, I'll actually construct a magnet for 2014. And what I'll do is I'll probably PayPal people the amount it takes to buy it from Cafe Press or whatever, so you can get it. So how's that for a deal? That'll be the 2014 deal. And then I've got a hat. I have the hat. I'm bashing the hat. This hat is filling up with names that I'm going to randomly pick out. Somebody's Amazon wish list is fullfrap@gmail.com. Lawrence Simon, if you see that they're in Houston, Texas, that's me. If you see that they're in Nigeria or Bangalore, they probably aren't me. Although they could probably be someone in Bangalore or Nigeria, and they come up with whatever. My wife, the oil baroness princess, is not. It's probably me. And then I'll look at your list and say, ooh, and then pick something at random that's really cheap and buy it for you. So there, my not-so-secret Santa. So keep those Amazon friends, connections coming. A few of you actually have done that. I mean, that shows that we still have a listenership of 1, 2, 3, 4. God, that's sad. 400 episodes, really? Really? Okay, I'm going to go drown my sorrows, and here comes Serendipity. They're coming down the bunny tree. This isn't Easter. Okay, but it's just whatever. Here's Serendipity.
We don't use the C word in our office. The boss is banned. Instead, we have holiday decorations, festive parties, and greetings cards. He maintains it's a politically correct and culturally sensitive attitude to the season. And anyone who wishes to take issue with him is bigoted, insensitive, and possibly not suited to working for the company. We put up with it and get on with the job. He's not fooling anyone, though. We know the real reason he wants to avoid the C word. He's too damn tight to pay us a bonus and give the extra holidays.
Thank you, Serendipity. I'd like to point out that today is the birthday of Will Ross, originally from Smart Bomb Radio. Long ago, Pickle Tales even did a few stories for us. Now, what you're thinking is, wait, I've had several birthdays here and you've never called mine out. Well, tough. But Will is notorious for killing me off in his podcast. Willingly, too. Me, I just, you know, hey, you got to play this part. Oh, is that the part where someone gets killed? Yeah! And it's like, all right! Because it's kind of fun. It's a running joke, although it's been a while since he's killed me. So what I want you to do is, if you have him on Facebook, put in there, "Happy birthday, you son of a bitch, now go kill Lawrence Simon," in a podcast. So let's bum rush the son of a bitch and we have him, celebrate a wonderful... He's probably at church right now, pouring out kerosene and lighting a match. So, oh, the religious ones of you will... How can you stand my irreverence, my blasphemy, my utter disregard? I'm a jerk about that. Really. I say, anything that keeps people happy for an hour or two, maybe even more while they're awake, is a good thing. And if they're not hurting anyone, and if it teaches people, hey, let's be cool to each other, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And this whole Duck Dynasty thing, I never watched Duck Dynasty. I never watched Dynasty or Falcon Crest. I don't understand it. I don't understand the whole Elizabeth Taylor thing. But, I don't care. I go to Academy, which is a sporting goods store, to get jeans and shirts or whatever, although I don't really need it anymore. But why? I get boots there. Probably need to pick up another pair. But why? Just, what's it all about? I pass by the firearms section because I have plenty of firearms. I have plenty of ammo. What's the point? I could use a crossbow. That Daryl guy on the zombie hunting show? And all these articles are like, oh, all the great shows that are coming up in 2014. They're mentioning every show but the zombie show. And it's like, really? Really? You TV critics can just suck it. And that's the whole point. Who cares what they think? Who cares what other things? It's what matters to you. And if you're doing all right, if you're doing things for others and you're making a difference, who gives a crap what the others think? Well, I don't give a shit. There. That's the key to happiness. What? Oh, Cliff? Okay. Sorry, I got off on another rant there.
Okay, here we go. One take, no editing, three stories about anything but Christmas. Do you remember the children's book, Are You My Mother? It's a delightful book about a little bird that hatches while mother is away finding food. He wanders the land asking everyone he sees the title question. He finds animals and a boat and even a machine that snorts and puts him back in his nest before his mother returns. It's a very sweet book. Do not attempt to recreate it by dressing in a giant chicken costume and wandering around the Pinedale shopping mall asking people, "Are you my mother?" That was absolutely the most embarrassing mugshot ever. And story number two isn't so much of a story as it is just advice. If you're waiting for the universe to give you a sign that it's finally time to try something new and terrifying, then I have some good news for you. Here it is. You. Yes, you. You know who you are. It's time. Today, take the first step, just one step, towards that thing you have wanted to do. Want to write a novel? Learn Italian? Travel to the old country and find your roots? Do something today in that direction. Then, repeat daily. Don't worry, I'll be doing it too. The future is waiting for us. Let's not disappoint it. And my third story is a little more topical. The emperor, Duk Kwa Kang, is thought to have ruled China in the early 15th century. He was followed on the throne by his son, his nephew, and a grandson. This was called the Duk Dynasty. Modern historians are divided about this age in history. Some believe that the Duk clan ruled worthless swampland, or that they were only a legend. However, archaeologists have uncovered countless relics of that era, including hats, shirts, toy ducks, and one much-worn ceremonial tea goblet. In the end, their rule ended because people were just sick to death of hearing about them. Okay, that's all I've got. Hope everyone has a Merry Christmas. We are allowed to mention Christmas, aren't we? It doesn't matter. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Talk to you later.
There you go. Who cares what I think, what others think? Just do what's right. If you want to wish a Merry Christmas, then wish it. Wish it with all your heart. If you want to wish a Merry Kwanzaa, well, what the hell is wrong with you? I mean, really, a fake made-up holiday where there are just candles for crazy-ass things like Shaniqua and Moniqua and Taniqua? I'm reading through this Wikipedia article, and it doesn't make sense. Oh, well, he's being a racist. No, I'm not, because it's a holiday for everyone. A stupid, made-up holiday for everyone. So, really, how can you, whatever. What? Hanukkah is already over. God, I don't understand that either. Hanukkah probably means house fire in Hebrew. I tried doing the oil thing. Gross. Just got everywhere, spilled everywhere. There are probably professional lighters and oil things. There's a reason why we have electricity. I don't understand any of it. Right. It's such a boost to the economy. Yeah, buying crap we don't need. How about buying some stuff that we do need? Or buying some stuff for people that need stuff? Well, there are the toys for tots. Yeah, toys. Yeah, but when it comes to their educations or health care, yeah, where are we? Sorry, I'm just really, really freaking out here. I'm just going off the deep end. Maybe I need to take some pills or see someone about this. What? Oh, ooh, I should leave this to the professionals. How about Danny? Oh, man, he can go off on a tear.
Hello, hello. Danny Dwyer here with Weekly Challenge. Ooh, 400. Wow. Congratulations, Crap Mariner. What? The weekly topic is anything but Christmas, which I interpret to mean that, well, you're supposed to literally write about anything besides Christmas. Unfortunately, I wrote this. So, ladies and gentlemen, strap on your seatbelts. Here we go with Weekly Challenge 400, anything but Christmas. The rich, the poor, the strange, the stranger. Christmas was a bottom-of-the-barrel hooker on the Lower East Side beyond the Lower East Side of Manhattan, just south of the South Street Seaport, in the middle of the Hudson River, which is where her pimp wished she was buried at. Worst hooker in Manhattan, according to the underground newspaper located under Rockefeller Center. One day, some big shot pulled up to her street pimp and asked, "I'm looking for the hottest hooker in New York City. What you got?" The pimp responded, "I got what you're looking for. Anything but Christmas."
Does she have a webcam? Oh, thank you, Danny. Oh, man. Running out of steam. I'm running out of steam. I need more steam. Forget PayPal. Forget Amazon payments. Forget Google Wallet. Send me steam. And not steam as in Steam the game. I don't need Steam credits. I loaded it once, and I played Portal 2, and then whatever. Oh, man. Lizzie, she's a little late this week. So, she's getting into beyond my wheelhouse. Now I'm in my, trying to get through the podcast here. Here's Lizzie.
Hello, everyone. The topic for this week is a little tricky because if the idea was to have us write anything except something about Christmas, then I think I've managed to destroy that idea completely. So here's the story. The state of affairs called for immediate action. A man in a black suit stood outside Ronnie's door. The festivities had been canceled. All of them. No, please, you can't cancel anything but Christmas. The children will be devastated. We're so close, pleaded the most famous Santa in the whole world. But the authorities were ruthless. Believing in non-existent entities like Santa was destroying future generations. It was destroying the potential for obedience. We don't want imaginative minds. We want them blind. Ronnie disappeared a few days later, and on TV, they announced that Santa had died. Christmas was gone. And on this cheerful note, I invite you to drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, where you can read lots of stories as cheerful as this one. And I hope you enjoyed them. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. Even if you write on the opposite of the topic inspired you. That's what matters. And I say up on the site, up in the notes on the weekly challenge, the topic doesn't have to be in there word for word. If it inspires you, if you derive another idea from it, if you're totally obsessed with peanut butter sandwiches, it's okay. It's okay. And it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be fine. You see? Even the monkeys love you. Speaking of monkeys, Justin, you have any... God, I totally forgot about the last bagel on the counter. I put in the toaster, fired it up, and I forgot about it. It's been an hour. You think it's still warm? I don't know. I'm going to go check on the bagel while you listen to Justin.
Near Space Turtle, Justin Lomester here from thespaceturtle.com. I can speak again. Yay! This week, the topic is anything but Christmas, so I thought I'd write about a game and a story that may or may not be true. I'll leave that up for your imagination. Here we go. The writer, let's name him Taste Spurtle, sent 100-word stories to a podcast that was all about 100-word stories. Back in those days, everyone, well, like 0.001% of the audience, voted on which stories they thought were the best. And whoever's story won, a topic they chose would be the topic for the next weekly challenge. Sometimes Taste Spurtle would vote using different browsers and vote at work to manipulate the polls, but not to win. When the results were particularly close, he would cause the votes to align, causing many ties and multiple topics. Hilarity ensued. Don't kill me, Lawrence.
And now you know why we don't have polls anymore. Because some of the topics sucked. Others were like, I don't want to do polls anymore. I got tired of people judging each other. I would rather have people say, oh, okay, I like this about this one, this about that one. You could like more than one. Although the polls did let you vote for more than one, I don't want to do that anymore. And what am I doing right now? I've got like stacks and stacks of Pez dispensers that I need to put on the shelves. This corner looks like a mess. It smells bad. Well, it's probably me. Ugh. Ooh, musty. Ugh. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Justin, for giving a little bit of the history of the podcast. Next week, talk about the dark days of when there were poets. What? Norval Joe? Okay, let's hear what he's got. He'll brighten things up. He always makes things cheery with the word Durgle. Just every time.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for weekly challenge number 400 with a prompt of Anything But Christmas. So here's my story. Monkey Boy sat on a branch, picking at the head of an adolescent female, and watched Esmeralda flinch and the Burgoslavigan hitman leave.
Who?
The female asked sadly, as the superhero dropped to the floor of the enclosure, pulled on a zookeeper's uniform, and morphed back into his normal size.
I'll miss you too, he said to the monkey, locked the cage and grabbed his phone.
He punched the number for headquarters.
What's up, Doc? A voice asked.
Anything but Christmas.
What's your report?
Flypaper Boy is a known commodity. Tell him to abort.
Thanks for listening, and have a Merry Christmas. And see you next week.
You see, another Merry Christmas. All of you should wish people Merry Christmases if you want to. Or Merry Festivuses. Merry Easters. Okay, you can wish Merry Kwanzas. All right. Enough. I've gotten enough hate mail. I haven't even posted the podcast. And nothing says holiday spirit like hate mail, I think. Thank you, Norval Joe. Shall we continue? Sure. You're probably wondering, where is Muncie? He's here. He just took his time. He wanted to craft this to perfection. Not that you others haven't, but he wanted to take the time. It shows the love, the spirit.
Greetings, Mechabats. Cat here, reading Munzee's story for him, because he has a sinus cold and basically zero speaking voice. So yeah, if you follow me on Twitter and wondered what I sound like, here you go. And with that, it's story time. Eggnog, by Christopher Monroe. Eggnog season's upon us, and as such, the time has come to drink. Not in a degenerate alcoholic way, though the argument could absolutely be made that I'm that, but rather more festively, in spirit with the season. I like my nog with Kahlua. Though a good spiced rum can also be delicious, but really, what you drink with your eggnog doesn't matter. What matters is that you do drink eggnog, and who you drink it with. Because really, isn't that the true meaning of the holiday? I can drink to anything, but Christmas especially is a time for celebration. Munzee will be back next week reading his own story, unless he dies in his sleep, which, judging from what he sounds like right now, he just might. In the event that he does, in lieu of flowers, please send cash. This has been Cat Fullerton, and Merry Christmas.
Wait. You're not Scattercat, are you? Oh my God, are you Scattercat? No, really, are you Scattercat? Because if you are, cool. And if not, well, then but still, if you are, cool. Hi, hello. This is the... Never mind. Wait, he's at death's door? Okay, knock on the other door. Knock on life's door. Knock on give me lots of money door. But no, stay away from death's door. Don't head to the light. Stay away from light. Unless you're going down or upstairs. Then you may want to have some light on. Might fall. But I hope you're feeling better. Because, you know, is your mouth bleeding? Because if your mouth's bleeding, you're alive. If Zuzu's petals aren't in your wallet... I'm talking about Zuzu's petals. We used to call tabs of acid that. What? Oh. But anyway, thank you, Cat and Muncie. If you're really a scatter cat, then... Wow, cool! If not, then whatever. What? Oh, I'm supposed to... Okay. We got one more to go. And that's Planet Z, and then we'll be done. So, are you ready? You ready for it? Okay, here's Planet Z.
The North Pole isn't what it used to be. Santa's around every street corner and mall, and toys are made in China. So the elves took classes in biochemistry, and they turned their workshop into a weapons lab. Santa still wears a red and white suit, a red and white environment suit, with a breathing mask over his beard. Just sprinkle the white powder around, says his head of R&D, especially on keyboards and machine controls. The Chinese factories are death traps now. Can't keep up with demand. Too bad Santa tracked the plague back home. The snow fell quietly.
Ah, oh, man. 400 weekly challenges. The topic this week was everything, anything. I'm just worn out. How are you guys doing out there? Let me know in the comments. Show notes, oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. I'm going to post this on the Pinterests, on the Googles, on the Facebooks, on the tweets, on the this, on the that. And just, if there's somewhere I haven't posted, just tell me and I'll be like, alright, is there a way to automate it? And there you go. So thank you all for being a part of it this week and every week. And I don't know what else to say. But Merry Christmas. And I'll see you next week. Until then, thank you for listening. And as always, keep it brief.